Hi, I'm Jessica St. Clair.
And I'm June Diane Raphael.
And this is
The Deep Dive.
We're about to do what women have done for centuries. We're crowding around the fire with our generous haunches. We got babies hanging off our tits, and we're going to share with you our fears.
That's right. Our joys.
Our tips on how to stay alive.
Now, Jess, we are heeding a call that no one has made.
Not a soul, but you're invited to listen.
Absolutely, because we make one promise and one promise only. We will not Google a thing.
Because frankly, we're too damn tired.
Please get ready to go on
The Deep Dive.
Hi, Jessica.
June.
How are you?
Well, I got my tooth fixed.
I'm so thrilled. How did you chip it?
I was drinking a gigantic glass bottle of water, and I was drinking it whilst opening the car door, and I slammed it into my front teeth, and there was blood everywhere, and I thought that I had knocked out my front teeth. Now, I'm not getting much acting work right now anyway, but I thought that was going to really put a wrinkle in time, as it were. But luckily, Dr. Face, my dentist over at Santa Monica Bay Dental, Dr. Face, tested it out. And he said, quote, good news, your tooth isn't dead. And this is the front tooth that was dead.
Is it the dead tooth?
It was the dead tooth that I know they struggled in the 80s to get to be alive. And I thought, oh God, has it happened again? But he said, great news, it's hanging on.
Praise you, sweet Jesus. This is the resurrection. Yeah.
But I had to live for a week with a chipped front tooth, which it's a real testament to how exhausted I am that I actually didn't care. Normally, I'm very uncomfortable about it because of the trauma of my dead front tooth. And I didn't even want to go to pickleball. I was like, oh God, like I'd sent the text. Like, just so everyone knows, my tooth is...
And by the way, we did make a promise, and I did on Instagram, to not talk about pickleball on this podcast. And then you liked that comment, which I found confounding. But
we're not going to do it. We're not going to talk about it. The one rule of pickleball is you don't talk about pickleball.
Yes. I've already recorded today's podcast.
Great.
And here's Paul Scheer interrupting, putting something together in a bag, taking out games.
Why now?
I'm recording. I was just talking to Chelsea Devon-Dez, because you're going to hear her interview in a second, about how women's creative time is not valued the same way men's is. And I feel you're going to hear that. And I feel right now we are seeing that in my space, where I'm pursuing my creative dreams. I'm doing my work.
Yeah.
And he is walking through and putting board games in a tote bag for this weekend while his... I can't believe this. Scat, cat, scat.
Oh, and then he just laughs it off. Laugh it off, fuzzball. Not interested.
Laugh it off, funny boy. You're going to hear more about that interaction actually later with our interview, because and we did talk about this, how undervalued our fucking time is. So, Jess, I did want to check in with you, though, before this conversation with Chelsea, which unfortunately you could not be a part of because you were getting that tooth fixed.
I had to get it fixed.
I just wanted to check in with you because a lot's happened since we last spoke. Our merch dropped, and Deep Divers, you sold it out.
Almost immediately.
Like 5 hours. It was gone.
It was. And now Kinship Goods, like, they do merch for a living. They had accurately...
I actually love to have them on to talk about their work.
Wonderful work. And they silk screen everything. That's the other thing you guys have to understand. Like, the shit's not coming from a factory. They are screening it, silk screening it on demand.
American made, baby. Yep.
So that is also, and you know what I love? God, do I love a female-owned business? Because she actually, it was funny because she said, well, I took the mugs down. I marked them as sold out because there would be a week lead time before I could ship them out. And I said, oh, Hillary, people will wait. No big deal. But literally people have already received their merch that placed the order on Wednesday. That's how on it she is. And we had our first KClement12, I believe, is her handle. She, our first deep diver, tagged a hot photo of the mug and the water bottle outside in the summer sun.
Ooh.
And she was our first. So I want to see that merch live its best life out and about. And people, please don't. The mug, yes. The pin. The pin is so cute. Okay. The pin, yes. The sweatshirt, okay. But let's not forget about the water bottles.
Let's not. Because we've talked about, and honestly, that's a note for myself because I'm so fucking dehydrated right now.
Yeah, me too.
And they're classic. I think we all are. And we got to get that water bottle and we got to fill it up and we got to hold on to it. You know, I struggle with losing water bottles, but I do think there's a better chance of me not losing this one because of its, well, there's two, but the width of the clear one,
ooh,
I do think I'm going to keep eyes on more than usual because it's got a girth.
It's got a nice girth and you can fill it up with ice easily. Water. We deserve ice water. We deserve a lemon. Throw a lemon. Ooh, a lemon. Guys, we deserve, ooh, mommy. We deserve it. And they're classic. And the white one is so cute. Am I depressed or dehydrated? Is going to get a little laugh. That's also a nice little small talk. These items of merch. And again, Dan goes, God, I guess you missed your calling. Like, all you want to talk about is inventory right now. I'm like,
Jessica. And again, I know we touched on it last week, but it is still, to this day, it is shocking to me that you, and I hate saying that because I don't want you to think I underestimate you.
We're telling a lot of truth in this season. Yeah,
I do believe in you so much. I just was like, it's such a skill set to kind of execute. It's like executive level kind of functioning. And you're the funniest person I know and so successful in your career. But it is a level of kind of details and nitty gritty and granular stuff that I was a little bit, given the cords and the dongles and the this and the that and the internet's out. And, you know, I was a little concerned about.
Well, here's the thing. ADHD. Here's the thing about ADHD and especially in women. When we care, we go deeper than anyone goes. And so, like, that's why you were getting so many texts, like, at 11 p.m., like, you've got to approve the sweatshirt. And, like, I'm obsessive about the things I care about. The things I don't care about, i.e. my mail, will go unopened for 3 to 6 months. And that's why various government organizations are coming for me. But when I care, we go deep. That's why a lot of entrepreneurs are big picture. Also, we love a big picture. Like, I want you to understand, June, like, I already have our talk show. Like, I already have the opening in our 60s. Like, I know what that is. Like, I've already syndicated. I've already syndicated it. Okay, I've already syndicated
it. And I'm so done with fucking late night. Like, I want a morning show. I want to be out of there by 10 a.m.
Yeah,
brief
10, 11.
Me on tomorrow's guest. Tell me what books I need to read. But now I'm going home.
Yeah. It's going to be great. When our kids are in high school, I'd really like to roll into that. I know that's not our 60s. But anyway, so I've got our big picture totally locked and loaded. So that was part of the merch was our big picture. And the other thing I want you guys to understand is, yes, get all this merch now. Understand that the fall rollout is coming. Couple moms worried about a white sweatshirt. First of all, I don't want you to be worried about the white sweatshirt because it looks fresh as fuck. But they were just like, I've got a 1 and a 5-year-old. I'm afraid I'm going to get stuff on it.
Oh, no. Don't worry about that.
Don't worry about that. And also, like, a gray sweatshirt's coming, like a hat. Like, there's a tote bag is coming. Like, so many things are coming. So, yes, get it now because honestly, it sells out immediately. So when I post, it's back up. Like, go now and get it. Let's not wait.
I know. I did just post. It's interesting about the white sweatshirt. So I will, you know, Stylist to the Stars, Claire Mukherjee turned me onto a white jean. And you did. You always have rocked a white jean.
Yeah.
And I never understood. I didn't think white pants were possible. And I just didn't understand them. And now what I'm going to do next with that sweatshirt is actually wear a pair of white jeans and a pair of loafers and the white sweatshirt.
Ooh. Also loved your look that you had in that dressing room, which was the white sweatshirt and like a ripped kind of like light blue faded skinny. Like that was hot.
I understand. It's a hot look. Thank you. I understand what people are talking about with the white sweatshirt, but I really beg you to know.
Try it.
Because
it's fresh.
It really is. And I just want to tell you, I'm so proud of you, Jess. I'm so proud of the work you did here. I really am.
I so appreciate it. I do think there's times to take a moment and say, I love it. The mug you're going to also love is just so good in the hand. Anyway, I know I've become a merch obsessed. I don't know what I'm more obsessed with, pickleball or merch, but there's going to be a crossover. But just know too, I got to give a shout out. Okay. Cause there's something big coming that June is planning for you guys. That is so big.
It
and
is
so big. Audacious. And insane. It's an event.
And that's it's in an my event. Head. That's talk about like big picture.
Oh my
like,
God.
I can, you know, I used to write these lists for myself, these goal lists. And I got to go back to doing it where I would say, okay, these are the three things I'm working on right now. These are my three goals. And then these are my three goals for the next like year or five
short-term
years,
right? Goals and long-term goals. Writing okay, them down
then,
is key.
But then, Jess, there's another bucket.
What's that?
The unimaginable.
Woo! Yeah! Oh, yes!
And what I'm cooking for you all deep divers, because I care so much.
It's unimaginable.
It's actually unimaginable. It's like that bucket was really important to me because it was like, this is where I'm going to force myself to think about what I would want, what I would like... want to have that. I'm too scared to speak aloud. Okay.
I would love for our deep divers to write down one unimaginable goal, because if you don't set, here's the thing, because in one of the many self-help podcasts, the Life Coach School podcast, she talks about setting these goals that are extraordinary.
Life Coach School, like a school for life coaches? I know we've gone over this before.
You don't need to be learning to be a life coach. This woman's just took herself to be a billionaire from nothing. And anyway, it's just she has skills. But she talks about setting the extraordinary goal. Sometimes people are afraid to set it because they go, well, what if I don't reach it? I'll feel
that's
bad.
Her
point is, if you don't set an extraordinary goal, you ain't getting anywhere near it. And so it's not even about, like, let's say you set a goal, like, I'm going to want to make $1 million. And by December, you've made 400,000 or so, and you're freaking out. I'm not going to make it. Well, actually, it's pushing you further than if you had not set that $1 million goal and you made 400, and then you go, well, I guess I could just coast. It's like, let's keep pushing ourselves, but also don't get down on yourself.
And don't be embarrassed to say, I'm going to speak it. And say it, you know, even if it's just to yourself, even if it's just to your journal and writing it down.
Did I ever tell you the story about Jessica Chaffin when we took that auditioning class together?
No.
Where?
Is it with Robert DeFonso Marx?
No, it's a woman called Karen West with a C. And it was about the nuts and bolts of auditioning, how you walk into a room, the fact that you don't linger afterwards and say too much.
God, please don't.
Where do you put your purse? Now, this was back when it was in person. And we had to write our five short-term goals that could be achieved within 6 months and our five long-term goals, which was a year, actually. Or 5 years. It was our five-year goal. And Jessica Chaffin wrote down that she wanted a sandwich named after her at the Carnegie Deli. And we were all like, that's crazy. Now, I guarantee you, Rana is going to have her own sandwich. I know she will.
Jessica Chaffin has always, no matter, I don't care what kind of credits followed her. I don't care where she was in her career. She's always carried herself as an icon and a legend because she is.
That's absolutely
and
right.
And I find the more I tell people, you know, it's why I told Chelsea, I think I invented podcasts, and I know people, you know, and I demand that people consider me the first lady of podcasting and call me that.
Yeah.
You
know, certainly do wear a suit well.
Yeah. Even though it's like very, you know, unclear if I deserve that. I really right. do love the idea of credentialing ourselves and crediting ourselves and walking with legend status.
I'm a queen of merch. I could.
You are, baby girl. You are.
I could run a merch enterprise, and I will.
Jessica,
like, this is Goop. I know
I gave you feedback on one particular thing that merch wise that we're working on last night, and I said, be patient, because what I didn't want you to do is take your. You've done such an amazing job. Such an amazing job. That I was just wanting to recenter you with what your own guidelines were.
I understand.
Which was nothing but 1,000% quality.
It has to be. And I'm codependent with our fans. And if they want something, I want to give it to them. And I want to give it to them now.
I know.
But I understand.
I had to remind you
yes,
of your
you step
own
into my
standards.
Queen energy. Yes. Set into my queen merch energy. Oh, it's exciting, guys. I'm really excited about this unimaginable goal that I want everyone to set. God, if you'd share it, that'd be amazing if you want to tag us and share it. But I know it's really hard to share. But what would happen if we asked little girls and boys, what's your unimaginable goal? And then give them the confidence that they can do it.
So
instead of school being this like narrowing and you better fit a mold. How about like, don't give them a list of jobs that exist and tell them which one of these existing jobs do you want? What if it's a job that doesn't exist and you're going to fucking create it? How about having more female entrepreneurs? Because that's how you have a work-life balance.
Absolutely. And I'll never forget Mr. Wonderful on Shark Tank talking about how he loved working with female founders because they fucking get shit done and they know how to manage their time. And they just deliver. You know, we just deliver. So, Jess, I am going to hopefully, I'm working toward the unimaginable, which will be an experience for our deep divers. And
it's insane.
Honestly, I may need to like retitle it as like the unimaginable because it sort of is, you know. That's something I'm working on with my executive functioning brain.
Yeah, it's really work. You did a PowerPoint deck.
Yeah.
Did you create that yourself?
Yeah.
How do you know?
With Anna Cecilia.
But how do you know how to do that?
I have some. It's actually interesting. Like as I was doing that, I'm like, God, I could have killed it in the corporate world.
And
big
time.
I do have a business.
You could have killed it in the corporate world.
I do have a business. So I've learned a lot of this through the Jane Club, and it really scratches an itch for me because I love that stuff. I love entrepreneurship. I love creating things and starting with nothing and building something. To me, it's just such a thrill.
It's a rush. Oh, here's the other thing that the Life Coach School podcast lady said. She said, she hears so many women say, well, I can't do it because I've never done it before. Don't let the fact you don't know how to do something stop you from doing it because you can learn how to do it.
Yes.
There are people, because there's always going to be an expert somewhere that's going to teach you how to do it. You make a couple calls, you know, for merch. I called
internet is an amazing thing.
The Varsity Pickle Ladies, which, by the way, cute merch if you want to go out there. I know we're not going to say the P word, but I called them. We had a call. They said, this is how we do it. It took me like 3 calls to figure out merch.
So many.
Cody, our producer.
Cody, can we please share this, Cody? Because that's really fucking so cool.
Can we just say this, Cody? Are we allowed? Okay,
yeah, she wrote in the chat. Go ahead, Jess.
I got into podcasting with no experience 4 years ago, and now I run the network. Women need to go for it. Woo, that's hot!
It's so true, though. It's like the sort of, you know, the willingness to put yourself out there and the willingness. I find most women have to help each other and get on the call and say, again, not me, so please nobody ask me. I don't have the time. But for most other women, like they were so willing to support each other and, you know, say, hey, can I ask you a few questions about podcasting? Can I ask you, please, nobody ask me anything. I won't respond. But
won't even see
this
it.
Is for other women are so generous with their time, not me, but others. And I've so appreciated it.
You created Jane Club. You created a community of people that are helping each other. And so you did that. You did that.
Thank you so much. I did. Yeah. And I'm so proud of it. Speaking of supporting women, Jess, we have something so exciting. I'd really love her to just put herself on screen right now. Whew. Amazing. Our engineer, Gordon Duffy, has talked about a dream team we have over here at the Deep Dive. Like, she has delivered on every level our sound to your listening ears. And she has got something cooking right now that is about to be released. Jordan, can you tell our deep divers what you have going on and where they can find it? Because this is big.
I sure can. So I was going to say, speaking of unimaginable goals, not only am I so privileged to be a part of the show, but outside of the show, I'm a singer-songwriter. And after a decade of trying to make something possible, my very first single and music video comes out this Friday, September 9th.
Wow.
Chills. Mm-hmm.
What is it called and how do we find it?
It is called No Big Deal, and you can find it on Spotify, Apple Music, Pandora, Amazon Music, pretty much everywhere you listen. And then the video will be out on YouTube.
And we're going to play out with the song, right?
Yes.
A little bit of it.
Can we?
Okay.
Yeah, we can play a little bit of it.
Okay, just a tease.
Okay, we'll tease a little bit of it, but please head on over to Spotify and give it a follow, give it a likes, give it a listen, wherever you get your music. Jordan, we're so excited for you.
We're so proud of you.
I know it's called No Big Deal, but it is actually a very big deal.
It's a very ironic first song to put out for a title.
It's incredible and good for you. And that's inspiring, honestly. It's inspiring.
Thank you. I also wanted to add, because we're surrounded by so many powerful women, is that I wrote the song with my sister and it was produced by a musician named Party Nail. So it has been touched by powerful women.
Very cool.
Mm-hmm. It's nothing better. And also, I just want to say on a very shallow level that Jordan looks like a pre-Raphaelite. You know when you go to those paintings at the Met and you see those women who are laid out in a pastoral setting with the hair and the skin and the rosy cheeks, the like peaches and cream. That's what she looks like. That's what we get to look at. Somebody who behind the scenes is mixing our audio.
I can't wait for you to see my music video then.
Yeah, like I saw some stills and you're going to like what you see as well as what you hear. Okay?
Deep divers, we have a real treat for you all. Chelsea Devonta is about to join the pod, and I couldn't be more excited. She is an Emmy-nominated writer, comedian, director, actor, and the host of the incredible podcast Celebrity Book Club with Chelsea Devonta. She was most recently Jon Stewart's head writer for The Problem with Jon Stewart on Apple TV. She's currently in an overall deal with 20th Century Fox, developing her own shows, God bless. I'm Tekka Vail as an actress, and just want to throw that out there. She's also writing a book of essays, which will be published by Hanover Imprint at HarperCollins next fall. Chelsea, thank you so much for joining us.
Oh my gosh, June, watch out. I'm going to use this audio to force you to be in a show of mine.
I have so much to talk to you about, and I don't even know where to begin, but it feels like the most natural place. So I was thinking about you this morning. I was on my walk and what I wanted to talk to you about. And then you got on screen. And then you got on screen with that pop of color on your lips and that bold red lip. And when I think of you, Chelsea, I think of a bold red lip.
That is such an honor. I've been working hard at just, I want to be bold lip girl. Do you know what I mean? Like,
you
I'm really writing for
you're
it.
You're already bold lip girl.
Bless. Also, I was, you know, June, I did a few podcasts. I'm not sure if this has happened to you, but I did a couple podcasts and then they put up their socials and it was like my wreck of an office. I hadn't showered and I was like, nobody gave a heads up. And so now every time I do a podcast, I'm terrified and I'm like shellacking makeup on my face and I'm blurring out the background.
Listen, we should have let you, that's actually such good feedback because I am now going to make it so clear to all of our guests that we do not take one single photograph on this podcast.
Bless
we do
you.
Not take any video from it. Like there is, I feel really, you know, as one of the first ladies of podcasting,
yes.
I like to say I might have invented podcasts. I'm not sure and nobody's fact checked that, but I do feel a little bit of ownership over the medium.
I really feel that's correct.
Yeah, thank you. Some people like to push back on that, but I believe I very well may have invented them. But I don't want to be seen. Why am I doing podcasts? If the whole point is to be heard. I don't want to be seen.
100%. I mean, not when I say I learned that lesson, I learned it multiple times. Like multiple times I was like, this is an audio medium. I'm here in my pajamas. There's obviously not a bra on. And then,
I will take you back to when we first started. Again, I've been doing podcasts for a long time. People, you know, say I've got a face for radio and that's always been hurtful. But when Earwolf first had their offices, they used to, after each podcast, bring us out to the harsh lobby lighting. And I mean harsh.
Like fluorescent hallway lighting.
Chelsea.
A crime.
A dangerous situation.
It makes murderers out of those photographs.
Okay. And they would say, okay, now time for a picture. And they would and I would walk out. And Jason and Paul never had a problem with it. And then they'd throw that picture up on every episode.
That's right.
They'd throw it up.
Yep.
And I was like, I have to put a stop to this.
Yeah. And what'd you do? Did you make a scene?
All women. I said, first of all, we got to work on the angles because the angles were
atrocious.
Okay. And then I was like, the lighting in here is so brutal on us. And so I did, and I did that on behalf of all women. You know, that's a part of my activist work.
Thank you for your service. I hope that, next time you go to a march, I think you should put that on a protest sign. I fixed harsh lighting. I taught someone an angle. Get a ring light in here. What are we doing?
Good for you. I believe that I was a part of, you know, the bigger change there. And then, of course, the pandemic happened. But before that, I was really working hard on behalf of all female podcast hosts.
Absolutely.
So you're welcome for that.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
I want to ask you about your bold red lip because I actually yesterday had something to do where I wore a bright red dress.
Yeah.
And I thought to myself, I knew the event was coming up and it was going to be photographed. And I'm like, can I emotionally?
Always.
Emotionally put that red lip on today?
Yes, and I couldn't. Always. You couldn't. Why? You just weren't feeling the boldness or were you feeling like it'd be too much?
I felt like I don't have it in me to walk into a room with a bold red lip right now.
I got you. I have to say, I love makeup. I love the makeup. Makeup was taught to me by drag queens. So I love makeup. Like I'm at the end of the spectrum that like Sephora doesn't have some of the products I need. But
I love this. Okay, yes.
What
I will say is,
you know, I got my start in late night comedy. I was just Jon Stewart's head writer. And it just brings me such joy to be a woman in late night in a red lip. It throws them off. It scares them. It makes people nervous. And I'm just thrilled to do it.
Chelsea, this is so inspiring to me.
Yeah, I feel like it's a fuck you. And I just kind of like love walking around with like a fuck you on my face. Like, fuck off.
Wow.
This is it.
Wow. This is groundbreaking. You're so right. Because what I ended up doing was sort of a bright pink.
Oh, it's good. Yeah, like, that's it. A pop,
but it's not a red. It's not a red.
I got you. Listen, I think if you follow my gram, I'm often in like such deep red in the wrong lighting. I've worn black lipstick to an event. Like that's where I'm circling. So my journey right now is I'm trying to find reds that are red enough to not look like I'm wearing black lipstick as if I'm a witch, which I am, but everybody needs to know at all times.
Well, you have that dark hair and the light skin and a red lip. To me, there's no combination that is more beautiful than that. I just find it to be so stunning as a
color. Did you always feel that way? Because I feel like growing up, all I did was just pour sun in my hair, lemon juice. And of course, for me, it turned orange, right? So I'm just walking around with just this orange hair my whole life. Oh, blonde. It took a long time to.
Well, listen, you know, the only reason that I am blonde is because when I was about 20, I don't know. No, I guess I was a little bit older. In my early 30s, I started going out for these pilots, and every single pilot season, it would be between me and another actress who was blonde.
Oh my!
Because my hair is dark brown, and she would get it.
Wow! When you dyed your hair, it changed, didn't it?
Yes, ma'am.
I'm both like so thrilled for you in that story, and like my butthole dropped out.
No, I know it's very upsetting.
But no, it's completely true. Like it's 1000% that is what's on the table.
And at a certain point, I was like, how are you going to try to change the system from the inside or the outside? And I was like, I need a job.
Yeah.
And if you know what I mean? And if it takes me dyeing my hair, because I do think, listen, there's so much racism and misogyny attached to this, but I do think that ultimately there were so many men making that final decision.
Yeah.
And in their minds, they've been primed to be like, blonde is beautiful. Blonde is beautiful. And
right,
so I'm
right.
seeing
blonde
two
is girlfriend,
people.
Wife. Brunette is weird friend.
Yes.
Yeah.
And sure. Side character.
Sure.
Not the lead of the show. So I, it's sort of shameful, but I'm also like, I'm glad I did it.
Yeah. I feel like that's this business of just like feeling like dog shit as you do something to try and get ahead, to do another thing, to try and make things better. I mean, I'm going through the same thing right now. Like, you know, I came up as an actor/writer as you did. And so when I'm writing and I'm on the other side of casting, the things I have seen, the conversations I have witnessed. And it's so nice to be there to like be a different voice and weigh in another way. But unless you're physically holding all the money that's paying for the thing, you never have full power. And I'm even like trying to cast this film I'm doing, and like I'll send lists of actresses I love, and I will get back. They don't move the mark.
They don't move the needle.
And then they'll be like, how about, I don't want to trash anyone, but then they'll be like, how about this famous pop star who's never acted in her life? And I'm like, for my comedy?
It's so upsetting. I really do feel like sometimes for me, the less I know about the industry, the better. Like, you know what I mean? I'm like, I appreciate a healthy distance from some information.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, it would deflate me and defeat me and on such a level that I don't think I can move forward. That kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Like your worth attached to my, I'm just like, I'm great not knowing actually.
Yeah, I think that's really healthy. And sometimes people ask me, like, why don't you act as much anymore? Because I'm doing so much writing. And sometimes the truth is that, like, having spent so much time on the other side, like, I don't know if I can go back. And like, I'll put myself in things I write. I'll be in friends projects. But in terms of going to your audition, I don't know anymore because I kind of like, how much more Zoloft can I take? Like, I just think there's limits on the prescription, you know?
1000%. 1,000%, you know? Yeah. I mean, it's so hard because there's so many opportunities to feel terribly about ourselves. But then I do practice a lot of, I mean, I don't know. I've gotten to a point though also where I'm like, I want to, and I do think women and their creative lives are not, and our creative time is not given the same weight as men's time and men's creativity. And we are not allowed in some ways to take ourselves as seriously and our creativity and our process as seriously as men seem to be able to freely do. And I'm like, I think that now I guess I've gotten to a point in my career where I can do this. And so I'm definitely privileged in that way. But I'm like, oh, I'm giving everything I got to auditions, knowing that I'm not going to get most parts. And that's a crazy making process.
Sure. You know? Yeah. I think it's like would be a definition of insanity in a therapist textbook if you took out all the acting words.
1,000%. But I guess I'm like, I have to be in a place of like, oh, I get to do this today and do the thing that I really do love and entirely divorce from what the outcome is.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I mean, that thing you said of like women's creativity not given the time, I think that's also where like I spent a long time trying to fit into a man's comedy world, you know, like dirty sweatshirts and just kind of like playing down your femininity. And then I flipped so hard. I was like, you will be fucking scared by my tits.
Oh God, Chelsea,
you will so cower inspired. In fear by my lashes. but it's such a, I mean, that took a long time too, but it's such a weird process to navigate that. But when I am in the moment where I'm getting to make the art I love, every single moment of it's worth it.
It's so interesting because I've talked to Jessica about this before too. And I remember at UCB going through that whole mental process of like, I guess I'm not going to be on a Herald team because I like makeup and I don't want to wear like jeans and Converse.
I remember those years. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, I guess that's not for me. Like, I can't do that because those things are not interest. Like, I'm not that person.
Sure.
So it is a really strange. Yeah. It is a really interesting thing to like, be hyper feminine, whatever the fuck that means, but in a comedy space.
Oh, yeah. And it's still, I think we have made so much progress in the past 10 years, but it is still ground is being broken. However, like I'll go to shows and there are women up there in bikini tops making you laugh. And like, you know, it's called the hot girl comedy wave. And I'm like, yes, my bitch. Yeah. Like, yes. get it. Like, don't ever let them. And even really just to like break the box open, you know, there was only one box you could be. We should be able to be all 20 boxes and make jokes. Or 100 boxes. I don't want to say how many boxes there are, but there's definitely more boxes than dirty hoodie and Converse sneakers.
I see the kind of cultural understanding that some younger women are growing up with in terms of body positivity and the level of representation they're seeing in the media. And I'm like, oh, at this point in my life, I don't know that I can unlearn the massive kind of misogyny that I grew up with. That's hard.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And also it's so funny too, because, you know, we do these celebrity memoirs on my podcast. And so books that were maybe written even in 2008, let alone like Priscilla Presley's, which was like 1985, like you can read their view of their self and their beauty and their looks and their place in the world. And weirdly, as horrible as things are right now, every time I read those, I'm like, we are doing so much better, even though everything still sucks. Like, it's like things are very bad. We are fighting the Supreme Court. And yet, wow, the strides we have made.
I got to tell you, I was watching Real Housewives of Beverly Hills, catching up with it last night. And I was watching Crystal. Are you up to date?
Oh, yeah, Chelsea? I'm up to date.
I knew you would be. But I was watching. I was watching Crystal's episode where she's standing at Kyle's bar and breaks down about being so exhausted by her eating disorder. And before I saw that, before that scene, I was thinking to myself, watching all these women, Rinna, Kyle, all of them, and thinking, God damn it, they're so fucking thin. Mm. And they are so, their bodies, these are older women, their bodies are banging and they're so thin. And how do they do it? And what's the cost, right? What's the flip side of it? And what does it take? And then, as I'm having that thought, that scene starts to play out where she, and of course, yes, it's an eating disorder and it's an illness, but what she was also saying to me, and I think in that moment to the wider audience, was like, this, what you all are consuming and what you all are seeing in our bodies costs so much and it is so exhausting.
And not worth it.
And not worth it. And my God, I don't want my children to have to do what I have to do. And it was so incredible to see that level of honesty. And I was like, oh my God, I can't imagine growing up and hearing women speak so honestly about this not being worth it and addressing. I mean, it's still upsetting that we don't have on any of our housewife franchises, like really a representation of different bodies. We really don't. But at least I was like, oh, thank you for at least addressing that there is a very high price to pay.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you know, when I was a teenager, I went through a lot and I went through a lot of eating disorders myself. And I even tried to go, I remember going to my first OA meeting, which is Overeaters Anonymous, just like
I'm a child of OA attendees. Yeah. Know it well.
Okay. Yeah. Yes. Okay. So I remember my first meeting was actually in New York City. And so there's maybe like 100 people in this room. And this woman stands up and she's like, you know, I was just crushed. I couldn't speak, but she stands up. She's like, this is my first meeting. These are all the things I want. I feel so supported being here. This is my first time, you know, kind of addressing this. And everyone's like, you know, yay you. And like, that was wonderful. Maybe 2 minutes later, she stands up and starts running for her life. And like through folding chairs, like has to get out of this meeting, right? And I was like, hell yeah, me too. She had already knocked the chairs over. I'm running out after her. You know what I mean? I was like, yeah. I mean, like, and I would try going back, but it was so, so intense. But I always promised myself that I could, if I could ever get out of this self-hate cycle, I would never go back. I would never perpetuate it. And I would never hate on myself ever, ever again. And it took like 7 years, but I finally got out of it. And now, like, I just truly feel like I could care less. Do you know
That's
what I mean?
Amazing.
And I'm in Hollywood, but like, I
That's
just
amazing.
Don't care. But I don't care because I remember the pain of caring. It ruined my every second of my life. I mean, I really, really horrible things were happening in my household at that time. Like really like Lifetime movie stuff. And next to Lifetime level violence, I would be thinking, how many calories have I eaten today? You know what I mean? And it's just like, how was that possible in my child brain? And I just, it's just so unbelievably stupid. And I can't wait to like cast things with abandon and not give a fuck because it's ridiculous.
It is. It is. And I do think that, you know, that often I wonder what impact I'd have on the world if I didn't spend as much time as I do concerned with how I look. What do those hours look like?
Oh my God, truly. It eats your life. It eats your life unless you like move out of it. Absolutely.
It's so true. And I practice a lot of just radical self-confidence and like radical self-love and all of that stuff. And I do find, because I do think at 42, I'm not going to unlearn all of my Cosmo reading and all of the sort of messaging I got around food growing up. There's just, I guess, you're right. I probably could. I don't know that I have the time, you know,
to unlearn
to be quite
it.
Honest. the time. I don't know. However, what I do, and a part of me is like having boys, and or at least they're identifying that way right now, having them gives me a little bit of, I think maybe I'm a bit more relaxed. I think if I had a girl, I would be like, this is going to be a full-time job to fucking get my mind so right about this stuff so that I'm not projecting any of this onto them. But even with having boys, I will say I made a commitment early on. I will never speak poorly about my body in this house in front of them ever. Not only that, but we do a lot of like, we do a lot of work around, let's look at ourselves in the mirror together and like talk about how beautiful we are. And God damn it, it works.
Yeah.
It's like, it does work. And then you start to realize, oh, it's because the other messaging is so pervasive that sometimes we don't even see it. That was what was cool about that fourth wall moment in Real Housewives. It's like, it's everywhere. You know, it's sometimes hard to even like identify it. The messaging about how disciplined our bodies should be and how they're sites of like control and discipline at all times. So anyway, I
totally hear that. I also, I'm also listening to this. I'm like, God, I don't, you're talking about discipline, but like, that's not something, that's not a part of my life. I will say I got a, you know, I'm getting married and I got, so I did something very, very, very bougie that I felt very bad about, but I got a trainer, which half was because I'm getting married and half was because like, as you get older, I hear you're supposed to like build your bone density or whatever. You know what I mean? Right. Like, it's just like, I think I'm supposed to do some movement, which, and I've not been doing that. And so I was like, maybe I'll do it if I have a literal warden standing over me.
Yeah. I'll pay like, someone good money to yell at me. Yeah.
Yeah. And so, and just kind of, so, cause I'll quit any movement. I'll be like, I'll put a video on at home and they'll be like, do 20 jumping jacks and I'll do one. And I'll be like, they'll never know. They'll never know. And so anyway, so I get this trainer and they didn't have any women available. And I was like, I don't know about this. So I get this dude trainer, but he's so kind and great. And so I was like, okay, cool. But then one day he was like, let's talk about what you're eating. And I was like, No. You can tell me how many jumping jacks to do, but like, get the fuck away from me.
I will not be discussing my food intake.
Yeah. And then he suggested how many calories I should eat a day. And I said, first off, you need to know, one, I'll never count. Two, I promise I'm seven times that. Three, I will quit if you say one more word. And he was like, I'm just trying to help you obtain your goals. I was like, my goal is to never think about this. But I was like, yeah. And then I was like, I don't think I need a trainer anymore. But yeah, I don't know. I once I got free of all that stuff, I feel so much happier. I'm never going back. I'm just never going back.
God bless. God bless. I love it, Chelsea. And I love that red lip. Let me just, okay. So first of all, he needed that feedback and I'm glad you gave it to him because you should never tell another woman how many calories you should eat.
Yeah, he was like, I'm your trainer. I'm trying. I was like,
don't fucking care. You know, I don't care. I'll never forget when Paul and I were going away and we had to go horseback riding and he sent me a text asking me how much I weighed. And I was like, delete? Like, don't you, buddy, don't you ever fucking ask me that question again. He was so confused. He's like, the horse people need to know. I'm just trying to get the information for the horse people because they're trying to pair you to a horse. And I was like, they will not know and you will not know. They can take a look at me with their eyeballs and put me on the right horse.
Yeah.
Not sending you that information.
I will say I do a bunch of like wedding stories on my Instagram because I'm fucking around a lot. And I did one about like bachelorette party. Like, what's the worst one you've ever been to? And someone wrote in and said, a bride wanted to like take a helicopter tour. First off, just What are we? What's happening?
First of all, I'll never go on a helicopter as long as I live.
I will never go on it. That's insane. However, also, like, what kind of bachelorette trip is this? Whatever. She's like, I want to go on a helicopter. But in order to get on the helicopter, every woman, every bridesmaid had to be weighed before getting on. And they knew that was part of the trip. And here's the thing, like,
I've ever heard.
Like, listen, some people don't care about being weighed. Like, you can weigh me. I don't give a fuck. But I'm aware enough to know that that's a fucked up thing to do. And the person writing in said, I refused and did not get on the helicopter taking us to the next location. Yeah.
Okay, Chelsea, so I am so excited about your wedding. I hate that I'm getting to know you and really connecting with you just solely through podcast appearances, and I want to remedy that.
I actually kind of love it, too. Like, I feel like I'm like, oh my gosh, June, my long lost friend.
I feel the same, but it is rather odd that we're really building a relationship.
Also, like, Paul and Yasser are such good friends. Like, we should definitely have dinner together.
I would love nothing more.
And like, record it as a bonus episode.
Stitch a premium, baby. I mean, we do need to always be creating content. If you and I are together and it's not content worthy, then it's like, I don't really, you know, it doesn't really matter. So yes, we always have to be creating content, make it a live event. Thank you, Cody. But I just want to end. I will only have you for a couple more minutes, but I just want to tell you, I want to ask you about your dog. If that's a space we can enter into.
It's a really safe space.
So Casey Wilson, our mutual friend, told me about your experience meeting your dog during the pandemic.
Yeah.
And I was wondering if you could share it here because it, again, I'm hearing it secondhand, but I've had her repeat the story to me.
I am so touched.
It was so beautiful and so kind of, I feel like you and I also got a dog, I think right around that time.
Oh yeah, I've been following your dog journey. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, great, great, great. So could you tell me how it all happened, where you are now, and what, actually, I want to start with, like, did you have dogs before or is this, yeah.
So we had a dog in my mom's first marriage, we had a dog. But then from like 4 years old and on, we had cats that like we would find on the street and I would bring them home. And I was like, we need this cat. And so it's only been cats, but I've always loved dogs. And I found this one baby photo. My mom was sending me some pictures and on the baby photo, she wrote, she loves dogs. So I must have always had it in me. Oh my and God. When the pandemic was starting, I was on Instagram and I'm talking like starting. Like we are like Tom Hanks just got COVID.
Yeah. NBA has been shut down for the rest of the season. Yeah.
Yes. And on Instagram,
it's so crazy that he was like patient zero. I mean, I'm forgetting that, but yes, that's so insane.
And I'm seeing on Instagram the dog shelters are gonna close. And if we don't have enough fosters, .. You know, so they're just kind of being so fucking ominous that if all these dogs don't get fosters, because we're going to have to shut down. So I turned to Yasser and I'm like, Yasser, I think we got to foster a dog. We got to help. And to be fair, we lived in a very small one bedroom in the center of Hollywood. No, not even obviously no backyard, but I would say nothing like a backyard for like a mile. Right. Like there wasn't even going to be like a neighborhood patch of grass. And Yasser was like, I think we really need to wait till we're in a space where a dog can survive. And I said, I don't know. I'm looking at all these dogs. I'm thinking we need one. And also I had read Ashley Judd's memoir like years ago and somewhere in the memoir, she wrote like, she struggles with depression and she was like, I get a bunch of dogs And I got to feed them every day. And I love them every day. And they help my mental health. So I'm watching the world shut down. And I'm like, I think I got to get a fucking
smartest
dog in here.
You could do absolutely. Yes.
And also, they need homes. So anyways, Yasser ends up saying something to me like, I mean, if you want to, which I took as a yes. So I put in all the paperwork, right? And I'm like, we have a very small apartment. And so they say, okay, you're going to get a 9-year-old Chihuahua named Phyllis, and you got to come get her at this time. So I race down. It's right when Trump has said, it's like lockdown has happened. So they're open like 2 hours after they're supposed to be. And there's cars everywhere. Like they're throwing dogs in cars. Like people are pulling up. They're like, take this dog, take this dog.
Oh my God.
So I get there and I'm like, hey, like I'm here to pick up Phyllis. And they go, Phyllis didn't make it on the transport. And I was like, what? What? What are you talking? And I was like, where is she? And they're like, she stayed with her family. And I was like, what? Like, what are you talking about? And they're like, will you take a different dog? And I was like, yeah. They open my car door, put a dog inside that I've never seen. Then I'm at the back of the car and they're handing me like a crate and dog food. And they're like, take extra dog food. You're not going to be coming back for a while. And here's like this medicine you need to give them. And because I don't know this very well. I guess they give all fosters kennel cough medicine just in case. But they're like, take this dog medicine. I'm like, is this dog sick? Like, what do I do for the dog every day? You know, and they're like, just get out of here. So I go, I open the door, I sit in the car, and there in the passenger seat is my sweet little boy, Atticus. And he's just looking at me.
Is Yasser in the car with you?
No. So
you're by yourself.
I'm by myself.
My memory of this, I had Yasser in the car with you. Okay, so you're by yourself.
I'm by myself.
Because
also a key part of this story is that Yasser said, if you really think so. And I said, that seems like a yes. But to Yasser, that was a no. Like, and so we had a real relationship miscommunication.
Sure.
So I'm down there picking up this dog, and he has a very serious personality as a dog. So he's just this very serious little man looking at me.
And sitting on the seat.
He's just been placed in
the car.
Yeah, he's just been placed in the passenger seat. He's just looking at me. And so I put on, I think I put on Frank Sinatra. I don't know fucking why. It's like maybe the only time I've ever listened to that. But I was like, that'll be like nice and like lilting, you know, for this dog. We start driving home. Halfway through, the dog puts his paw up on the console. And so then I put my hand on his paw. And I was like, oh, you're never leaving me. Like, this is not a foster situation anymore. And get home. Me and Yasser walk him. Yasser's like, I thought we agreed no dog. And I was like, I thought we agreed a dog. And by the end of the night, Yasser was like, call them, tell them we're adopting them. So I called back. I was like, we're adopting this dog. And they're like, ma'am, you've got like 3 months left of fostering. Not to, you know, like, this isn't how that works. Why don't you wait and see? And I was like, no, take him off your website. This is my dog.
Pull
him off the free market. And so he is the most special dog. When I think about not having him, I can't believe there was like a sliding doors moment where I almost didn't have him. He's so wonderful.
And who would you be with Phyllis, you know? And I wish the best for Phyllis. And I hope she's okay.
That was definitely crushing. I think of her from time to time. I want to believe that she stayed. I just can't go down that road. I'm just not sure what happened.
No.
But
I have to believe that she's okay wherever she is.
Yes. Well, this little dog, I mean, he came to New York City with me for the Jon Stewart show. He got afraid of New York City traffic. So every day I put him in a backpack and I walked him to work. He, as if I had trained him, became best friends with John. As if I was like, this is my boss.
Wow.
This is the one, which, you know, I would have, but dogs can't speak. But John loves animals. So he would sit in John's chair with him as we worked. And then we did all these behind the scenes filming in the show. Atticus is in every episode. And because he would sit in my chair with me, or he'd sit with John. So we'd be discussing all these issues. And then if you look closely, like, there's a little dog peeking his head.
Oh my God.
I know. And yes, I did have a suit made for him for the wedding.
Well,
I thought you might ask, so I want to get ahead of it, you know?
Thank you. Thank you. I mean, that story, I guess the reason why I connected to it so much is it was so, like, that time was so panic-inducing, you know? Yeah, and there were so many people were making moves in wild directions.
They were leaving the country.
They were leaving the country. They were leaving LA. People were just grasping. And the image of that dog, just Atticus just being placed. I picture it now, correct? I'm sure this is wrong. But in my mind, the window was lowered down and he was just sort of like put through the window. Is that correct?
Someone just, I'm like, because I was grabbing other stuff, but like they opened the door and put him in. And when I got in, he was sitting in my passenger seat.
On the seat?
Yeah. It's just sitting on the seat, like my little passenger.
It's so insane.
It's insane. And then I will say, you know, we lived in that apartment for a lot of the pandemic and I got a campsite folding chair, and I would sit out on the sidewalk by the road so that like he could be outside and he'd just sit in my lap so we could have like an outside talk and
wild, Chelsea. And that's like, there are things that came out of this time, you know, that are really beautiful. There are, and it doesn't take away from like how hard this period was for so many people, but it's like that kind of 1940s person on a, like people, babies being like handed over on trains and just sort of like, it's so beautiful that you guys, I'm so glad you guys got him at that time and then had him. These animals, especially during the pandemic, saved people's lives.
They absolutely saved people's lives. And you know, the most incredible thing is that so many people in LA were adopting that. My dog came from Modesto. He was at a kill shelter, and LA went out wide to California and said, give us all your dogs because these city psychos are. But it's kind of beautiful. Like for a long time, you couldn't adopt a dog in LA. Do you remember that? Because
of course.
And I was like, so great.
Chelsea, thank you so much for coming on the deep dive. Where would you like to direct our deep divers to?
Okay. Come over to the podcast. It's Celebrity Book Club with Chelsea Devantes. Look for the Chelsea Devantes. And we recap and discuss all kinds of memoirs. June and I just did Tori Spelling. I got so many messages about how it's people's favorite episode ever.
I thoroughly enjoyed myself. I'd love to come back on.
I would love to.
I don't know if you'd have a repeat guest that soon.
I do. I would.
Okay. I'd love to look at that list again because boy, was it a treat. Yeah.
It was so great. And we do, I mean, there's some hot new, but we do every new release. We do the oldies. Like, it's my favorite thing. And you can find me on Instagram at Chelsea Devantes. And that's where I recap books often before we record. So I'll post little snippets of them if you like being in a little digital book club. And then I also post a shit ton of wedding stuff. But don't worry, I'm always making fun of weddings. I am not out here being like, you guys, look at the peonies that I just got.
Well, listen, weddings are my favorite thing in the entire world. I love a wedding, love a ceremony, love a sacred ritual where you walk into a space one way, walk out another. Yes. To me, nothing but I wish more things had weddings attached to them.
Me too.
I love it.
June, I have a question. I know we have gotten to know each other via podcasts, which is odd, but would you consider sharing your wedding album with me? Like if you have a digital link, like would you drop that with a password? I would love to peruse.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's the best day of my life. I loved it.
I love that.
Yeah, I love getting married. I love being married.
I love that.
I love it. It's super ambitious and it's like, it's just so lovely. And I loved having our friends and family there and I loved all of it. And we had, you know, our friends did performances and it was really, we made it our own. We walked down the aisle together. You know, so there were things we did that, you know, were really special.
I love that.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. I don't think I've ever seen that.
So we had two separate, the way it was set up, I'm sorry, I was trying to wrap this up, but just one more piece of wedding talk. There were two sort of aisles. And so Paul and I kind of walked with our families. We both walked with our families.
Towards each other.
Together. And we could see each other through the the trees.
Oh my gosh.
And then we came together and then walked together the rest of the way. Those were the things that for me, I was like, I was always weirded out by women walking on their own. And if you are, Chelsea, I think that's beautiful too. But there was something about the man standing there and the women walking that never felt for me quite right.
I totally get you. We are doing some different walkings, but I'll tell you, Jim, I am walking alone because that dress is so big. No one will be allowed to sit next to me should they want to.
Beautiful, though. That's beautiful.
But we're doing some crazy shit with our walking. So I think it'll
wait. You know,
please send me your wedding album.
I would love to, but it was truly the happiest day of my life. And I just had so much fun. Chelsea, thank you so much for coming on. And Deep Divers, please, please listen to her podcast, Celebrity Book Club with Chelsea Devantes, and follow her on Instagram and all the stuff. You and those red lips are just a dream come true. Thank you for being here.
I just adore you. Thank you so much for having me.
The Deep Dive is produced by Jessica St. Clair, June Diane Raphael, and Earwolf. Our producer is Cody Fisher and sound engineer Jordan Duffy. You can listen to our ad-free and bonus episodes on Stitcher Premium. And for a free one-month trial of Stitcher, use code DEEPDIVE. And remember, the best way to support this show is to rate and review. And a huge thank you to Ann Geddes for her beautiful photo that she allowed us to use for our cover art. Please head over to AnnGeddesBaby.com and download her new app, which is a safe place you can upload and store all of your precious images of your children and share them with friends and family, plus much more. We'll see you next time.